العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اهدنا وراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. Surah we will discuss, its slave translation, it is known as Surah Al-Mumtahina or Surah Al-Mumtahana. This is a Surah in the 28th Juz of the Quran Kareem. These Surahs, Surah Al-Mumtahina, then Surah Al-Saf, then Surah Al-Jumu'ah, then Surah Al-Munafiqun. In these Surahs, Allah Ta'ala prepares the mind and the heart of believers. When an exam will come, then a person should not fall into hypocrisy. And to prevent himself from falling into hypocrisy, he should not make friends with those who will pull him one day into the errors of the book. Very possible we will see the era where how many years we lived and everything was going fine. There was no real talk of a revolution, an Islamic revolution. Every country was calm, everyone was friends. In between we heard of 9/11, America's war of terror. There were a few times when they attacked Muslims, and again it went such that no, our effort is not against the Muslims. We got a problem with Afghanistan only. Then there was the war in Iraq. Again then it was said that we got no problem with Islam, with Muslims, it's just Iraq, weapons of mass destruction. Then the war of Sham broke out. Again it was said we got no problem with Muslims, with Islam, it's only the people of Sham. And then is the war of Gaza. In the war of Gaza, Allah Ta'ala opened up real thoughts, real sentiments. People were forced to start saying things which made people realize who's ours and who's not ours. With so much of bleeding, so much of torturing, things that a child will see and will not sleep for days and days. But still there would be those non-Muslims who would be so hard that they would look at all of the tear and they would even be able to let a sheep, one tear come down. They had to show in the ending they got no humanity at all. At the time when even other non-Muslims, when a non-Muslim normally gives with a non-Muslim, it's natural, you give with your own. But in this war that's happening in Gaza, where even non-Muslims could not help but side with Islam, at that time those few who stood firm, you could understand how much of hatred they always have held against Islam. That they would see a young child bleeding to death and instead of even going front to help, they would just smile and say, deserves it. They are those people of Kufar also. Some of them were those for years would voice humanity, the cries of humanity, to worry of the rights of others, the rights of animals. But when this war took place, reality came. This is not the end. This is the beginning of a revolution. And in that revolution, whatever happened in the past will happen again in the future. Allah Tabarakullah's Quran is a book of lessons. And if someone made a mistake in the past, it means that someone in the future must not make that mistake. It was the sixth year of Hijri called Hudaybiyah. During Hudaybiyah, a truce was made with the people of Makkah Mukarramah. It was the first time that now the people of Makkah were able to come to Medina Munawwara. They began seeing each other. The truce was such that if any group had to make friendship with Islam, with the Muslims, then the Quraysh had to respect that truce. And now they could not attack that village. And if any village made truce with the Quraysh, with the people of Makkah, then the Muslims would not attack them. So the Quraysh had their groups who were their friends, called a Halif. We got our own contract. And because of the truce that we made, Muslims won't attack you, you, because you are ours. And then certain tribes, non-Muslim tribes, they made a pact with the Muslims. Which means now the Quraysh cannot attack them. And things were going well. Then it happened that there was one group who had made a pact with the Quraysh, we call it A. He wanted to make an attack against a group that had made an attack with the Muslims, we call him B. So he wanted to make this attack. Some people of the Quraysh found out, they warned him, don't you dare do something like this. Because if you make this attack and Muslims find out, then this truce that we got for 10 years will break. And at the moment the Quraysh of Makkah, non-Muslims, they were not ready for war. They had become too weak. The people of Medina were ready for war. The people of Makkah were not ready. So they told A, don't you dare make the attack. A said to them, we will make it at night. We will make it so fast that no one will know who launched the attack. We'll kill all of those men. And we'll come out and there'll be no trace of who it was. And you must help us in this attack. So when they made that attack, and the Quraysh gave help in that attack, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it. It was a non-Muslim group they attacked. But from that non-Muslim group, there were those that managed to survive. And they saw their attackers. And they came running to Medina Munawwara to say, oh Muhammad, help, help. And it seems Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had already been informed that the Quraysh will not manage for 10 years to live up to their promises. So as soon as the man came and said, help, help, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, help is around the corner. Why will we not help? The Quraysh, they also got the message that the news reached. So he came to Medina Munawwara, Abu Sufyan at that time, he would accept Islam after 2 years. He is the leader of Makkah Mukarramah. They don't want war. They understood now that if the Muslims decide to attack, they are finished. So he comes to Medina Munawwara. He comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wants to talk. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just not saying anything. He doesn't want to say to him yes. He doesn't want to say no. He's not saying I'm going to attack you now. He's just not talking. And Abu Sufyan tries for a while to find out now what's going to happen. Is the truth going to break? And then he has to leave. This was the one time when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants no news must go out of Medina Munawwara. He wants to now launch an attack on Makkah Mukarramah. Such an attack that no one must be killed in Makkah. There must be no blood in Makkah. The attack must be so fast and so unique that as they enter Makkah Mukarramah, everyone just gives up. No one must be attacked. But for that to happen, the enemy can't be ready. So there is no news going out. No news. A Sahabi radiallahu anhu took part in Badr, his name is Hafiz. He gets the news of Allah's Nabi Muhammad's preparations. And he starts thinking that definitely when the Muslims start going towards Makkah Mukarramah, and then they'll come to Makkah Mukarramah and they'll surround. When they're going to surround, the people inside Makkah will look for hostages. To say, we kill this person, we kill, because in Makkah they were still Muslims. So he's thinking that when they're going to look for hostages, who will they take? So he says, many of the people of Medina, meaning the people who came from Makkah, the Muhajirin, they got family in Makkah. And family will look after family. He said, me, I'm a man who I was never part of the people of Makkah. I came to live there, so I got no family. When they will look for hostages, they'll take my family, my mother, they'll take my son. So he said, the way to save my family is, let me write a letter to them. And in the letter he writes that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is moving and he's going to launch an attack upon you like the night. Meaning so fast it will come that you won't even know about it. And he says, and when he reaches you, it will be like a flood that you cannot stop. Because the Muslim army in these 2 years had become extremely strong. Extremely strong.
and its numbers had doubled and tripled. Said it will be like a sea, like a flood, it will just wipe you. And then he says, and remember, even if Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, without a single soldier, decides to walk against you, even then he will defeat you. Because Allah has promised him victory, and victory is what he's going to get. But he writes it. Why he writes the letter? So when it reaches them, they look at the letter and they will say that Hatib was kind. Because he was kind, when they're looking for hostages, they will say, we can't do this to Hatib's mother, to Hatib's brothers. It's not fair. Hatib wrote a letter to us. It was a thought of him. If somebody had to sit with him at that moment, later on, Quran would speak, to say to him that that's a very foolish thing you are doing. Quran mentions indication to this incident, because when we will move towards the future, and we might find that the battle of Islam becomes quite big, and you will see victories happening on the Muslim world. At that time, however, sometimes a good Muslim will make major errors. A good Muslim who lived so many years with non-Muslims. A good Muslim who lived so many years with non-Muslims. Sometimes he might also make an error like Hafiz. You don't know why he did it. The surah came to say that remember your relationship with the non-Muslim, keep it in a certain place. Because when you will have to one day make a decision, you cannot allow this relationship to make you like a hypocrite. People will think, I'll never do a thing like that. But when the time comes, there are those people who could have perhaps joined partnership with a non-Muslim. When the day of decisions will come, and maybe me and you are going to see those days. Maybe our children will see it. Where a man's heart is where his money is. Where his money is, his heart is. Where his heart is, his whole act works according to that. If that decision has to be made one day, where you might have to harm your business, or you might have to harm your deen, we would always say, I'll make the decision, harm my business, but it's not so easy. This was a Badri Sahabi, he took part in Badr. When the time for that decision came, my mother, what will happen to my mother? Quran came to prepare us for the big decision. That do not have such relationship with non-Muslims, that it will make decisions later on very difficult. So he sends this letter. A woman is told to carry it. Jibreel alayhi salam comes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informed. He says to Ali radiallahu anhu and a few other sahaba, you will go out immediately. You will take this route, you will reach at a certain point, wait there. Then at that point you will see a woman coming along, stop her. She's carrying a letter, bring it back to her. Ali radiallahu anhu reaches, they find the woman in the desert, exact where they were told, stop, this is Wahi. And that woman is coming. Sahaba radiallahu anhu go around her and say, we don't want to harm you, we want the letter. She says, what letter? Ali radiallahu anhu says, give the letter. She says, you can search my bags, you can search the animal, I got no letter. They go through the bags, because on the camel. After the bags, now there's nothing in the bag. Ali radiallahu anhu is Ali. He says, do you think my Nabi will ever lie? Do you think my Nabi will ever lie? He says, if you don't take out that letter, we will have to remove your clothing to find that letter. But we will do it. That's when the woman realizes that she rather take it out. Very long hair, in her hair. The letter was hidden in the hair. Even if you search a woman like this, in the hair, where are you going to put your hand through a woman's hair? How she had it hidden, some say her hair in her trousers, in a place where no one will ever feel like touching. But when Allah Ta'ala wants to bring something out, nothing can be hidden. So the letter she gives, Nabi Sallallahu has it open, they look at the letter. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu was already informed. For the other Sahaba, when they heard the name from Hatib to the people of Makkah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Hatib, what is this? Umar radiallahu alayhi wa sallam says, hypocrite, let me kill him. So this is hypocrisy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him a chance. This is lesson number one of this surah. That there will be certain times where the action of a person on the outside looks like evil, kufr, fisk, hypocrisy. But don't be very fast to give a final verdict. You have to allow the individual the chance to say what happened. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, let me kill him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Hatib, what did you do? Hatib radiallahu anhu says, Wallah, I am not a disbeliever. And I am not inclined to kufr at all. He says, the only thing is I had a family day in Makkah and I got no one to protect me. And as the other people of Makkah who came here, the Muhajir, they got people to protect me. He says, Wallah, I knew this letter is not going to harm you in the least, but I understood you will go into Makkah and you will defeat all of them. But I felt if a letter can reach them just before, it will help to save my family. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepts. This is the heart of a Nabi. Give a person a chance to say why he did it. What an action he did. Even his excuse is not the best of excuses. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, oh Umar, do you know this boy, this man? He took part in the battle of Badr. He took part in the battle of Badr. And he says, do you know Allah looked at the people of Badr and he was so happy with them that he said to them, I have forgiven all of you. After this, even if you make an error, it's not going to harm you. You have been forgiven. Imam Bukhari rahimullah brought this under a chapter. And he may put a very nice heading there. The crux of the heading is that people who gave great services to Islam, if they make errors, people who haven't done so much of service, they must not be very fast to jump on those people's heads. Because they must understand that Almighty Allah is a most appreciating Allah. And Almighty Allah appreciates the good of the individual, which makes Allah sometimes overlook the wrong of the individual. As for me and you, when a man does good whole life and he makes one mistake, he will forget all his good and jump on that one problem. This was a major, major mistake he made. Wahi had to come there to stop the woman on the road. He says he took part in Badr. Remember the services of great people. That if they do make an error afterwards, don't jump immediately. Give the man a chance to walk. Because how Almighty Allah is ready to overlook and forgive, we also have to be ready. People make mistakes, people make errors, we make errors. Allah is the one that appreciates a lot. But when Quran comes now, Quran comes to give a lesson that let it not happen in the future. And saying to me and you, let your businesses with the disbelievers not be so strong. That the day a decision has to be made, it must not be that we also give in inclination towards the people of Kufr. Allah Tabarakala says, O people of Iman, لا تتخذوا عدوي وعدوكم أولياء. My enemy and your enemy, do not make that a friend. My enemy and your enemy, do not make that a friend. يخرجون الرسول وإياكم. Remember, it was these very people who pushed you and the Rasul out of Makkah Mukarram. And now today you want to hold on to their friendship. The world, when you will see a man who hates Islam, even if you got a top business with that individual, already from today you have to start thinking that I cannot do business with this person. Sometimes when the issue of boycott comes, people ask, must we boycott, mustn't we boycott? So the normal answer we give, boycott is not an Islamic law. The reason why Allah Tawakkala never make this law is Islam is practical. Islam has not come to make life unbearable, too hard. There will be certain times when we really need something. And if we have to hold on to this word, total boycott of all what we call Jewish products. And then a person lands up and he needs something and it's only a Jew selling it. And the man would say, Islam made laws too hard. So as a law, it's not a law. But as a feeling. As a feeling it is that whenever I got a decision between two things, I reach a two shops, one shop is a Muslim shop, one shop is a Jewish shop. Perhaps the Muslim is also buying from the Jew, but I'm not going to look at that. At that moment I will just say, when I got a choice between two things, both are equal, then instead of me walking into the Jewish shop, I'd rather walk into the Muslim shop. And if the Jew got a big sale on that day, and the Muslim hasn't got that sale, then also I will say, forget the sale, I need to buy an item, he also got to take it from me. In one country, there was a reporter asking some people that the news went that many shops, what we call Jewish franchises, were closing. Although Muslims were running those franchises. But because it was a Jewish name, so the Muslims in that land decided that we're not going to eat out. So they started going to what is called non-Muslim franchise, Muslim owner. Right? There's no Jew behind it, the normal Muslim shop. One man opened his own shop, he got his own name. Instead of the normal, what you call McDonald's and Kentucky or whatever goes up. So because of that, these franchises started closing because no one's going to it. It's open at night, there's no one in the shop. Next door, the shop is full. People are eating. So they ask someone that, do you really think this boycott is helping? So the man says, I don't know if it's helping, but I know I've seen a lot of shops close down already. Lot of shops. Then the person says, so why are you doing this? You're eating here and you're not eating there. The man answers. He says, our government does not allow us to take part in this battle. They're not letting us go. Says, the minimum we can do is enter one shop and not enter the other shop. He said, I want to show something. I don't know how to show it. He says, the minimum that we can do and that's what you see. Says, when our government prevented us from going to help on that side at least, there should be always a feeling that when the Jew has shown such hatred against Islam at the moment, there should be some feeling that I also have to show you. I also have to show. Although Islam taught us good character, but sometimes a Jewish man of the DA, whether he was a Christian man of the DA, so the DA is a government, political party. One person said, vote for the DA locally. But don't vote, I don't know what you call it then. So he said, you'll fix up your roads, but don't make him president of the country. So everyone was laughing. So somebody else said, you know, one DA man came to me the other day. Soon as he entered, I never stood up for him. The first thing I asked, what's your take on this Gaza issue? So this person obviously of the DA, he had to start talking this way, that way. Finally he had to say, you know me, I'm not too happy with you. I'm under a party and he said, then I can't talk with you. I was so happy to say a Muslim now is getting brave to say it. Otherwise it's always, I must have good character. So I must always put my hand in. Times are changing where a Muslim must stand up. And a Muslim must say, do you really believe what you're doing is right? When in the past we felt shy, it's time to make other people shy. We have to get the ghairat of our imani fervor. Because when we will have to make decisions in the future, we have to make others feel shy. They cannot make us feel shy. We will have to make others feel shy. It was amazing in the issue of Gaza where non-Muslims, they stood up for this issue. And they spoke with so much of fervor. But it's time that Muslims themselves have to start saying, we were shy for so many years. Time has to come when we make others shy. Allah Ta'ala says, تُسِرُّونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ وَأَنَا أَعْلَمُ بِمَا أَخْفَيْتُمْ وَمَا أَعْلَنْتُمْ. Hatib radiallahu anhu wrote a letter and he said, no one must find out of the letter. Sometimes when man will have to make a decision, he's a Muslim. He can't tell others, you know what, I got a business with that Jew. So quietly he tells the Jew, don't tell anyone. Because if they have to find out I'm partners with you, people will start looking at me. They say, are you not taking up your Jewish partner on this? Are you not asking him, is he sending money? Allah Ta'ala says, quietly you give love towards them. وَأَنَا أَعْلَمُ, whereas I am aware of what you expose and what you hide. Again, Allah Ta'ala says, quietly you make love with them. Say, let no one find out of it. Allah Ta'ala says, you worry of no one. But above all this no one, everyone, anyone is Almighty Allah. So Allah says, you're so quiet, don't you know I know whatever is happening. وَأَنَا أَعْلَمُ بِمَا أَخْفَيْتُمْ وَمَا أَعْلَنْتُمْ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْهُ مِنْكُمْ Whoever will do this, indeed he has gone off the path. Allah Ta'ala says, the day إِيَّثْقَفُوكُمْ, the day they will get their chance with you. And that's what we saw happening in Gaza in the moment. يَكُونُوا لَكُمْ أَعْدَاءَ, there they will show their enmity for you. يَبْسُطُوا إِلَيْكُمْ أَيْدِيَهُمْ وَأَلْزِلَتَهُمْ بِالسُّوءِ, then you will see their hands and their tongues only giving evil. لَنْ تَنْفَعَكُمْ أَرْحَامُكُمْ وَلَا أُولَادُكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. حاطب رضي الله عنه said, I only did it for my family. I never liked the people of Kufar. I only did it for my family. Almighty Allah says, on the day of Qiyamah, your family is not going to be able to help you. We will have to make a decision one day. It might happen that our own wives, our children, our brothers, our parents might say no. Because we are grouped up in a system where our businesses, our houses, our neighbors are linked up with non-Muslims. And to pull out immediately could create a problem. It could change. But on that day, remember the surah where Hatib radiallahu anhu wrote, Allah Ta'ala says, what did you do? Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمٌ. If you want to really have an example, the example is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had only his father. He grows up and he sees his father making idols. Making idols is the money of the house. And Ibrahim a.s. has to now say to his father, Father, what are you doing? Do you really think this idols benefit anyone? For the father, it wasn't only stop worshipping the idols. For the father, he said, this is my business. If we close down the idol issue, I've got no business left. So Ibrahim a.s. father finally says to him, if you do not keep quiet in this year, I will pelt you. Just get out of my house, get out. This is spoiling my business. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has to look at his father and say, I'll go. Says, because you're my father, I'll continue making dua for you, that Allah forgive you, Allah forgive you. La astaghfiranna laka. Says, but remember, I will not be able to help you in front of him. What Ibrahim alayhi salam has to do, even if it was his father, he had to pull out. A day will come, Allah save us from an exam which we can't manage. But remember, we don't live in a Muslim land. So some people ask, when that battle starts, when the Mahdi comes, when we have to leave South Africa and go somewhere else, we don't know. We don't know if we will find that time, our children will find that time. But every believer has to be prepared for that time. Because when that time comes, believers, Muslims will divide into two groups. One will be a group making right decisions, he'll enter into the tent of Iman. One will be a believer making wrong decisions, he will enter into the tent of hypocrisy. Now imagine at that time if a child is not ready to make a decision which pulls him towards Iman, naturally you slip towards hypocrisy. What will make a person slip? One is wealth, one is family relations. Allah's kindness in South Africa to a very great extent. Where in other Arab countries you will see the real law in Islam is a Muslim man can marry a Christian girl. He can marry a Jewish girl. He shouldn't, but he can. If the nikah takes place, the nikah will take place and you have to work on that woman. That before the child comes in the marriage, that woman changes completely. So instead of her making the child into a Christian or a Jew, the child grows up as a Muslim. In a Muslim country with a Muslim environment, there's always the hope that the war took place, the battle took place. A Christian came in as a slave. Or wherever there's no battle, but a Christian is working in a Muslim land, and she's all alone, and a Muslim sees her. And he says, why are you living alone? Why don't you get married to me? And she says, no, you are Muslim, I don't like Muslims. He says, there's nothing wrong with Muslims. And he knows that by marrying her, he'll show her Islam, she'll look at it from the inside, and in 3 days she'll change. For that woman, marrying this man would have been the best. But when there's no environment, and a man finds a pretty Christian girl, pretty Jewish girl, and he says, I want to marry you, then instead of he changing her, there's a fear she changes him. The children are hers, and we saw examples like that. We saw examples. So if that man got married to a Christian woman, and he's living, and now he got his children, a child is with the mother more than the father, and the day of the decision to be made is come. At that time, if a man says, but my wife, but my children, but my family, but my business, the surah was to say on that day there can be no but. If the decision has to come to separate, Allah Ta'ala says, what an example was in Ibrahim alayhi salam. When he said to his father, and his father said, get out or keep quiet, he said, no, I'd rather leave. When he said to his nation, inna bura'u minkum, that I have nothing to do with you and what you worship, he says, as long as iman doesn't enter you, I cannot love you. He said to his father, لَأَسْتَغْفِرَنَّ لَكَ, that I will continue asking Almighty Allah to forgive you. That I will do. Almighty Allah says, accept this one sentence of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam said that sentence at the time where there was no law that you cannot make istighfar for your father. But when Allah Ta'ala announced to Ibrahim alayhi salam, your father is not going to change, he's going to remain stubborn on this, Ibrahim alayhi salam at that time stopped. Then he stopped. For the people of this ummah, we were told that if my father is a disbeliever, Allah save us all. Even if it's my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, I cannot ever lift up my hand and say, Allah forgive my mother. I can make dua and say, Allah guide my mother. But I cannot say, Allah forgive my mother. It was such a unique law in Islam to create the hatred of kufr. That I love my mother, but because of kufr, I cannot even make the dua of forgiveness of my mother. Kufr I hate so. This law was given so that that barrier could remain. In the initial period of Islam, Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu's mother says to him, I will not eat except that you leave this faith. Mus'ab radiallahu anhu says, my mother, I love you, but I'll never leave this faith. If you remain hungry and you die, also die. You will wonder what made them say this. For them, kufr was kufr. They were not seeing who was behind kufr. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's son said to his father, I saw you on the battle. I looked at you and I had the chance to kill you. He said, but then I thought you my father and I left you. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to his son, on that day, if I had seen you and you were in the other camp, I would not have left you. I would have killed you. The surah was to say, make the right decision when the time comes. Allah Ta'ala make us all make the decision. Allah Ta'ala says, when the time of a decision will come, don't ever think that if I'm going to pull away from the non-believer, then I might lose so much of benefit. Rather what we will say, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, that Allah let us never be an exam for the people of kufr. This verse got many meanings. One unique meaning ulama have mentioned is, O Allah, let me never be so weak that the people of Kufr can do whatever they want with me. And they see nothing happening, which makes them start thinking that they are really on the truth and I am not on the truth. Again, the unique dua is, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Let us never be the exam for the people of Kufr. They say, let us never be so weak that the non-Muslim can do with me whatever you want. And because Allah's system is punishment doesn't come immediately. So I am left there as a slave to him. I can't talk, I can't defend, I can't stand up, I can't tell him get lost. He just does what he wants and I'm helpless. He pulls strings and my business collapse. I have to go and beg again. I become an example for him that he even says to me in the ending, if you were really on the truth, why is your God not helping you? That you coming running to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make this dua. La taj'alna fitnatan lil-ladina kafaru. Allah, let us be not the exam for the people of Kufa. That we become so weak that they look at us and they laugh. And they say, if these people were really on the truth, they won't be in the condition they are in. And I become an exam for them. Rather, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us that when the people of Kufa look at us, immediately they see the truth. They see a person who is happy with his Islam, bold with his Islam. They see a person who is saying, you can take away my wealth, you might take away my health, you might take away my home, but this iman within me you will never manage to take away. Really, in one country at the moment, Gaza, the whole world has seen that. They saw the wealth, they saw health, they saw life. And what the response of the people of Gaza was shocked the entire non-Muslim world. One country. It's not only meant for one country. Allah has given all believers. We are not losing wealth. We are not losing health. We are not losing businesses. Us might be, I might just lose a little bit of profit. We must be brave already from now to say, I don't do this. The man will say, you take a big loss. You say, decisions come from the Almighty. The non-Muslim must understand that don't mess with the Muslim. We must not be so close with the non-Muslim that we have to be a beggar to him. That he really can laugh and he says, this man talks a lot about the unseen but he doesn't believe himself. He has to see us, non-Muslims, in this last 100 days. Around the world, the amount of non-Muslims that have entered into the deen of Islam. People have to take numbers. So in one country, they wrote every day in the masjid, people are just entering. But from 10, every 10 people, 9 of them will answer, what has made you accept Islam? They say, what we have seen in Gaza forced us to open the Quran. Once we started reading Quran, it forced us to accept the religion of Quran. So no one spoke to us. 9 out of 10 people just saw, they saw Iman. Me and you must become now the mirrors of Iman. Allah make us all. Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِيهِمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Indeed, Ibrahim alayhi salam, in Ibrahim alayhi salam, for you, O people who have hope in finding Allah in the day of Qiyamah, what a wonderful example there is. That you have to be ready to sometimes say, if I have to leave, I'll leave. Ibrahim alayhi salam was born in what we today call, that time they would say Iraq. But today that part of Iraq is most sitting in Turkey. So that was the land of Namrud. Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam's journey after leaving Namrud will go to Sham. So if you know where Turkey is, and you will know what today what we call Sham, like what we call Syria and Alaska. Ibrahim alayhi salam makes a journey right through. On that day, the road of his journey takes him into what was at that time called Misr. We call Egypt today, but it's smaller. Misr now was the next. So he goes into Misr, and then he lands up in Sham. On that journey, Ibrahim alayhi salam says to his wife, that besides me and you, and then there was a young boy with him who would come later on, Nabi Lut alayhi salam. He says, besides me and you, there is no one taking the name of Allah. I want you to think of the journey Ibrahim alayhi salam had to make. He left not his father, not his village, not his country, not his business, not his friends. He left without anything on a journey very, very far, which he had to make, what we call going on foot. But Ibrahim alayhi salam's entire heart was with him. A day might come where Muslims will have to make hijrat again. Maybe we'll be able to live in South Africa when the time comes. Maybe we will have to leave for deen. Maybe we'll be able to leave with our wealth. Maybe we'll have to leave without our wealth. Maybe a man will find his father coming with him. Maybe he'll have to tell his father, you don't want to come, goodbye. Maybe a wife will say, I'm coming with. Maybe a wife will say, I'm not going. Allah Ta'ala says in Ibrahim alayhi salam, there's an example for the one who's desirous of peace. When the day comes to walk, and you will have to walk, Allah Ta'ala, on that day, let us think of Ibrahim. He made the journey. Allah opened up the roads. He reached Sham. Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the fitna will start, when the trials in the final era will start, what must we do? He said, Alaykum bi Sham. He said, you will look for the lands of Sham. Hold on to the lands of Sham. He said, in Sham will be the selector of Almighty Allah. Some narrations you said, in Damascus, Sham will be the Khilafah, the capital of the Mahdi. He said, the land of Sham, Allah has kept the pillars of Islam. Alaykum bi Sham. When Ibrahim alayhi salam had to leave, he had to move towards Sham. At the end of times, when man will have to look for something, he'll also have to look towards the land of Sham. If someone has to ask today, what is Sham? So one is Syria. And in Syria, to get into Syria is not easy. Allah has made it such, however, there are certain parts of Sham which are not Syria. They fall out of today what is called the cut of land. So parts of Sham fall into Turkey, where we heard of last year the major earthquake in Hatay taking place. That land is Sham. Because of which Almighty Allah has given us a chance to take ourselves and our children just to go visit Sham. Aqsa is Sham. But in Aqsa, when you're standing there, you're surrounded by these people. You don't just feel like. But if you are in Hatay, you're free. But you're in Sham. You're touching the borders of Syria, but the land of Sham is entering in you. To give our children the chance to meet the people of Sham, to spend a few days in Sham, to see the habits of the people of Sham. If you go, and normally every holiday someone says, where to go now? One place to go also is Sham. Why? Because if you want to marry a girl, what happens before marriage? First you have to go see the girl. No one just gets married and it's like, I never know the father, never know the mother, never know the girl. There's at least one meeting. What is the purpose of that one meeting is, I saw her before the day. And I saw her father before the day. I saw the mother before the day, meaning my sister saw. And then she said to me, very good girl, very good family. And I saw the father, I saw the brother, I know them already. On the nikah day when they came, I already knew, this is my father-in-law. Not I had to ask someone, who's he? I already knew. And when I entered in the bedroom, it wasn't like to say, are you my wife? I already saw her. Some people are such, they go see the girl first time, when you ask later on, what, she's smart, beautiful, she said, I never looked. So once you went there, I was feeling shy. That person, he might enter the bedroom and he say, is it really you? So normally a boy will pick up. Why you go to the lands of Sham now? So that one day if someone has to make a decision, I'm going to Sham. Already he can say, my father took me to Sham.
I saw Sham.
I saw the shops in Sham. I tasted the food of Sham. I stayed in Sham for 3 months. I spoke with the people of Sham. I started speaking the language. There was many years where the Arabic language was not common amongst us. Not common. Times are changing. The time has now come that our children must know the Arabic language. They must know it very well. So that if they have to go to Sham, they don't have to take out Google Translate and say, I speak English. Here's this, I need this. They must speak a language, the language of Islam. So there was that few years where we got out of touch because conditions in the world never allowed. Things are changing. A lot of the people of Syria have come over into what we call the borderland Turkey. This is Sham. They have opened up madrasas there. They have opened up cities there. They have places for hotels, for food. People go there. It's a normal holiday. But where others go for holiday, a believer goes for preparation. But if I have to one day settle in the land of Sham, let me see what is Sham. Let my wife also come and say, what is Sham? So one day if I say to her, we go in, she say, where is this Sham? She say, where is that? Not where is that, I already saw it. Allah tawarkala allow us, think of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And what a verse of Quran, Allah tawarkala says, indeed, in Ibrahim alayhi salam, for the people who are desirous of Allah is a wonderful example. In his whole life as an example, in just one action as an example, where he left everyone and he went towards Sham. Now when the surah brings it to that part, where Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam said to his father, I'll leave you, but I can never ever let you hold me back. The surah brings a man to that, I hate kufr. I hate kufr. Then Islam now makes a person moderate. And now when you hate kufr, there's still a way to behave with the disbeliever. The disbeliever will now divide into two groups. One is that disbeliever who hates Islam and he shows his hatred. You can pick it up from his actions. And one is that disbeliever who does not hate Islam. And how we saw at the moment, how many disbelievers, non-believers showed support to Islam. You get that group. When kufr, the hatred of kufr was in the hearts of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, then Allah tabarakala made them moderate. What happens, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's daughter, Asma radiallahu anhu, her mother. So her mother was that wife who Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu divorced. Aisha radiallahu anhu's mother was a believer. Asma radiallahu anhu's mother was a disbeliever. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu divorced her. During these days when the non-Muslims are coming now, Asma radiallahu anhu's mother comes to Medina Munawwara. She comes with her own children, which will be Asma radiallahu anhu's, like what you say, her brothers, her siblings. Her mother is there. Her mother comes with a hadiah. This is my daughter. She comes to Medina, she brings a hadiah, she wants to show her children, meaning this is your sibling. It's a mother. Imagine the hatred of kufr. This is my mother. Asma radiallahu anhu says, I will not let you in my house. You are a woman of kufr. I don't want your hadiah, keep it for yourself. But Sahaba radiallahu anhu always, when they give something, they always said, until I ask. He says, I will not take your hadiah, your gift, until I send a message to my sister Aisha radiallahu anhu to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that my mother has come. Allah tabarakala reveals, لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين. Allah has never ever stopped you to show kindness and justice with those disbelievers who have not fought against you, who have not pushed you out of your houses. He says, Inna Allah yuhibbul muqsitin. Allah loves the people of justice. This is a balanced Islam. It first created the hatred of kufr. And then when that thing came so high, then Allah tabarakala says, now understand this hatred, you mustn't show it to all. Beautiful is the teaching of Imam. You can't go the other way around. The other way, you cannot put a child in a school surrounded by disbelievers. And he becomes the friends of all. And later on you say to him, you know, the very evil one, don't be that one's friend. That very evil one, she could be a Jewish girl. And that boy will say, but I'm in love with her. There was a time when our children were not mixing so much with non-Muslims. If they were mixing, they were mixing with Hindu a little, Tamil a little. At the moment what's happening in the world, people have seen when a Hindu has to show his hatred for Islam, how they can show that hatred. The person will say, but they were my neighbors once upon a time. I used to send food for them every day. How can they be so bad? There's a certain kufr in certain people. Inshallah Tawakkala says, you will find that Christians, they are the closest in love towards you. He said, you will find the fire worshipper. You will find the fire worshipper. The mushrik. You will find they hate you to the core. We are seeing it in the world. In the Jews, there's two types of Jews. One is what they call the proper real Jew who believes in Musa alayhi salam. That Jew says this fight not supposed to be taking place. And one is what they call an Ashkenazi Jew. That Ashkenazi Jew is nothing but an atheist. He is a fire worshipper himself. He doesn't read the book of Musa alayhi salam. He works with the devil. They've taken the name Jew just because they need it for the political purpose. You can see the reason they have. So you don't ever put a boy surrounded by non-Muslims. And then when he falls in love with all, then you say to him, you know what, that one you mustn't be very close. This is my best friend. The way in the opposite is, a child must grow up with the hatred of kufr. And then the father and mother and the teacher can say to him, but Allah in His kindness says, no, you mustn't be like this. Your hatred must not stop you from showing kindness to those disbelievers who are good. And then he will show them. This is how Sahaba tarbiyat is. Unfortunately, ours went the other way around. So when the time comes where you tell a person, this neighbor of yours is not good, he says, I grew up with him. I was in and out of the house. He says, but kufr, it doesn't matter. The surah was to say, it does matter. So much it matters. That even if your wife has to be a just believer, Allah Tabarakala then says, O people of Iman. This was the final lesson of the surah. Certain Sahaba radiallahu anhum, their wife was still in Makkah Mukarram. A wife is a wife in the end. She's the mother of your children. They came to Madina Munawwara, their wife stayed in Makkah Mukarramah, but the relationship still stayed. And then this verse came down. When the verse came, La hunna hillul lahum, that from today they are not halal for you anymore. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, day and day on the spot, announced their separation from their wives. On the spot. This was how they had the tarbiyat of life in Ibrahim. No one thought, no one said, can I call my wife? Let her think about it. On the spot, he said, my Allah said, not halal for me. So she was a mushrika. As I told you, a Christian girl, a Jewish girl can still be in the nikah marriage of a Muslim boy. But a mushrika, the moment in South Africa, sometimes we get the news of a Muslim girl wanting to marry a Hindu boy. That nikah doesn't take place. A Muslim boy wanting to marry a Hindu girl, that nikah doesn't take place. But that person says love. Only a child could grow up with Quran. That before he falls in love with the wrong girl, he can understand there was once upon a time where a man was married to that girl. He was married to a mushrika. He lived with her so many years in his life. And one verse of Quran came, La hunna illul lakum, that they are not any more halal for you. There and there the person said, separate. If a child can grow up with that lesson, then if he is in school and there's a Hindu girl, he will not look at her with the eyes of love. Because he will understand you, Allah, has made totally haram. Never can the time come. A Muslim girl won't look at a Hindu boy with love. She will understand you, Allah, has made totally haram. But this level of hatred of kufr is also part of tarbiyat when a child is young. That he has to grow up with this thing, understanding your Islam comes first. It is even more important than your father and your mother. So he has to be told, what is Ibrahim? What did Ibrahim do? What decision did he make? Where did he go? From Iraq to where? To the lands of Sham. Why Sham? And then the boy must be told. People in the past would say to the children, if I do not meet Nabi Isa alayhi salam, then I want you, my son, to give my salams to Isa alayhi salam. That one thought of that father, which he pushed on the mind of the son already at a young age is saying, what's this? Am I going to meet Isa alayhi salam? Where is he going to be? Already his mind starts playing. Then the father has to tell the son, one day perhaps you might be in the land of Sham. He says, where's Sham? Then the father has to take the boy to Sham. You have to show the child Sham. Because we don't know how far we are from that day, but very great possibility, if we are not old at that time, we might just get it or we might just miss it. But our children, very high probability, possibility, they are going to get it in their prime. On that day, we must be the cause of them making those decisions. Already from today, we must say, give my salams to Isa. Say, you be part with the Mahdi. Say, who's the Mahdi? You'll have to tell your child who's the Mahdi. If you don't know, you'll have to start reading about it. You'll have to speak about Sham. You'll have to speak about Ibrahim alayhi salam and how he made that decision. How he left everything. You say, amazing he was. He left everything and he went to Sham. So the boy's mind is also. The girl's mind is also. Does it mean one day I might have to leave everything and go to Sham? Says, who knows? Let me ready. When the mind is ready, then the heart starts getting ready. The body starts getting ready. Then man makes other preparations also for a decision. But if a person has not prepared, then the mistake of Hatib bin Abi Balda, it's highly possible many of us can also make that. And on that day, a wrong decision can be made. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O people of Iman, how could you make my enemy your friend? لا تتقذوا عدوي وعدو قومي. How could you make my enemy your friend? Allah tabarakallah grant us tawfiq. And in every stage of our life we make the right decision. We are guided by Almighty Allah to make proper tarbiyat of our children. We are seeing a scene in the world at the moment unfolding. Our children is our amana. They have to understand why is this happening. It's not just a war in the news. They have to understand what is called a war on Islam. Why do they hate Gaza so much? Why do they hate the people of Gaza? Why do they hate Aqsa so much? What are they trying to stop? Why have they started wrong things in the land of Hijaz and Qatar? A young child must be told, things are happening very fast in the Muslim world. Allah Tabaraka's system is revolution is starting. The revolution of Islam is rusting up so fast, so fast. Our children must not be kept back. This is because we are living in a country which is far away. They call it a global village. Global village is if you want to be connected today, you can be connected with everything. And if you want to be disconnected, a man who follows the news, mainstream news, will remain disconnected from reality like anything. A man who understands the right news will be connected like him. The world is a global village. You can know what's happening in those lands if you want to. You can be blind if you want to. Allah tabarakallah allow us to make the right decisions. Ours and the decisions for our progeny. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.